I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
Desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again.
Good morning. Let's all stand. Together we lift up our voices as we sing, "Lift High the Name of Jesus." I'll fly away, and then amazing grace, my chains are gone.
Lift high the name of Jesus, of Jesus, our King. Make known the power of His grace, the beauty of His peace. Remember how His mercy reached, and we cried out to Him. He lifted us to solid, to freedom from our sin. Oh, sing, my soul, and tell all He's done, till the earth and heavens are filled with His glory. Lift high the name of Jesus. Celestial shore, I'll
much for being here this morning. Good to see each of you. Let's open up with a word of prayer and ask the Lord to come and meet with us today. Father in heaven, we come before you and we praise you and thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ who have come to worship. And Lord, we most of all thank you for our Savior that gives to us eternal life as a free gift when we come to him and submit to him in salvation. I ask that you'd be with our worship hour this morning, that you'd stir our hearts and draw us nearer to you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Please be seated.
Shadows steaming, we do.
Absolutely, the Lord is worthy. Let's have our ushers come up. We will take up our offering at this time. Brother Dan Manka is going to play for us the hammer dulcimer, correct?
Yes, sir.
And I believe it's homemade hammer dulcimer.
It's made by the dulcimer man.
All right.
Of West Virginia.
Okay.
It's a Fluharty dulcimer made by Russell Fluharty.
All right. Now you know. And so he is going to play for our offering, and then him and his family are going to come up and sing us a couple songs, minister to us in the Lord. Brother Manka and his family are from West Virginia.
Yes, sir.
The mountains of West Virginia.
And there that's are no all. Other places in West Virginia.
There's no. They're all mountains.
It's the mountain state.
Yes. Amen. Let's go ahead and do our offering. Louis, would you ask sure. the blessing on the offering,
our please? Father and our God, Lord, we praise you, Lord, for these. For the day that we can come into your house, Father, and to worship you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the things that we learned today, and Father, about postmodernism, and Father, and all the things that we've learned in Sunday school, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for all that you do for us. We pray now, Lord, for this offering. We pray, Lord, that you'd use it to meet the need here and the need for our missionaries around the world. And we thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Enjoy preaching about Old Testament saints, and more importantly, I enjoy preaching about the God of Old Testament saints. And even more than that, I enjoy writing hymns about the God of Old Testament saints. And this hymn is entitled, Elijah's God is the Only God.
That old Baal is a sleeping God. Elijah's God is the only God. Now serve him. Now serve him. Elijah's God is the only God. How long halt ye between two opinions? How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. How long halt ye between two opinions? Elijah's God is the only. Today God is a fallen God, but Jehovah God is the only God. Now serve him, now serve him. Old Samuel's God is the only God. How long halt ye between two opinions? How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. How long halt ye between two opinions, Elijah's God is the only God.
I have 15 accordions. I have five different kinds. You play them five different ways. This is a small piano accordion, and we would like to sing a song that we learned at a camp meeting in Maryland, and always enjoyed the message of this song. It says, little is much when God is in it.
In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the heart that's calling you. Little is much when God is in it, labor not for outward pain. There's a crown and you can win it if you go. In the back rows of the Broadway, in the hurry and the strife, tell of Jesus' love and mercy, give to man the word of life. Little is much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Little is much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or pain. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name.
Thank you very much, Menka family. And actually, today, after we have lunch, right out here, they're going to minister to us in song and some different things. Actually, Brother Menka has a friend that he brings with him everywhere they go. He's in a box, and they take him out of the box once in a while. And are you taking him out of the box out here today?
I'll be glad to.
Okay. So I want to encourage you to be sure and stay for lunch. And then right at the end of lunch, we're going to set up and you're going to meet Brother Menka's friend who he will take out of the box, which we're so grateful for. Just a couple of announcements I want to make to you. When you came in, you registered for a little gift basket. And at the end of the service today, I've told Sandra Jo, please do not forget to remind me to draw a name so that we find out who won that gift basket of great Vermont things. Woodman Hill Orchard Cider, Woodman Hill Orchard Donuts, Woodman Hill Orchard Apples. Then I think, is it Dakin Farm, the other things?
No.
Where are they from?
I got them from a farm stand in...
Oh, in New York. Yeah. So it's a Vermont and New York basket today. pumpkin butter, apple cider jelly, two mugs, some special chocolates, all in that basket. So we're gonna pull the name at the end of the service for a family to be able to take that home. I would like to remind you that a week from today, we're going to start our revival, and we want to be sure that you come and participate. Brother Kent York is going to be our preacher. He's going to preach for us Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evening, all of those services. And he's a phenomenally excellent preacher, lots of fun. You will receive much from it, not only enjoyment, but a lot of spiritual truth. So please make it a priority. Put it on your calendar. Come next Sunday and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. And we are going to be providing dinner down in the fellowship hall Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, because lots of you get off work, you're rushing, and we would like to help you by providing dinner down in the fellowship hall. Do you remember what nights or what meals? I don't either. But it'll be good. And I'll tell you next Sunday what night are what meals. Next Sunday morning, also men's prayer breakfast. And I did want to mention this morning that Dave and Marjorie Huff and Anna, I think I saw Anna over here too, and they're getting ready to move to North Carolina. I was talking to Marjorie. She said, she's behind John. She said today may be their last Sunday. They've got to get everything situated and finalized. It's either this Sunday or next Sunday. But be sure and go by, say goodbye, give them a hug, pray for them as they get resettled in North Carolina. Right? I got it right. Okay. I end up sending people to all different states. I think I know where they're going, and then it turns out I don't. So I'm glad I got it right. Other than that, I'm going to turn it right back over to Brother John.
Well, I'd like to invite you again to stand with me, and together we lift up our voices as we sing, I sing the mighty power of God. How great is our God? Oh, okay. Let's go to our last song, How Great Thou Art. Let's go to our last song. Patty, can you pull us up there? Yeah, we'll start with the chorus. That's good.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great.
Sing a song entitled When Death Was Arrested.
Alone in my sorrow and
though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. That's when death was arrested and my life began.
Four ushers, come up real quick. I want to pass these out. Want everybody to get one who wants one. You can have this one too. I have one on here. If you look at these, you'll see. I'll give them a chance to get these out before we go. Well, I'll read you the back. The back says, did you know that the French word for sunflower is tournesol? And I'm sure somebody here knows French, and I'm mispronouncing that. The word means turn towards the sun. Just as a sunflower follows the sun for life-giving light, we must turn to God's Son, Jesus, to receive eternal life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And this morning, my sermon is Tournesol, Turn to the Sun. I have a little quick video I'm going to play for you before I come up and preach.
Sunflowers follow the sun. More sunlight equals better growth, and the plants know it. New research shows this sun tracking is a circadian rhythm. The plants turn overnight to face east because their internal clocks anticipate sunrise. Biologists at the University of California, Davis demonstrated this regulation and its reliance on the sun when they moved the plants into a room with constant overhead light. Their east-west rhythm deteriorated in a few days. And when researchers staked plants in place or turned their pots away from the sun in the mornings, they didn't grow as big as the rest. This sun-following behavior eventually stops naturally when the sunflower matures and its priority shifts from growth to pollination. Mature sunflowers face east constantly to catch the first rays of the sun. According to the researchers, bees like warm flowers as much as 5 times more than cold ones.
So if you listen to that closely, it's pretty amazing how that sunflower in many ways pictures you and I as Christians in our call to face the Son of God, the giver of all life. When you look at your little sunflower card I passed out to you, you can see that it closes up and it opens up as you move it. And you and I as Christians, our desire is that we open up, that we flourish in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In that video, it pointed out that for the sunflower, the more the sun, the better. Grows better when it's in the sun more. Kind of like you and I as Christians. When we spend more time with our Lord, when we allow Him to shine in our life, we grow better. In fact, it was really interesting to me that the immature plants, they go ahead and they follow the sun during the day, and then at night they reset so that as the sun comes up, they're facing it again. Isn't that amazing? Just as you and I every day should start our day facing our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We should start our day facing him, shouldn't we? Another interesting thing out of that little video is that if they interrupt that relationship of the sunflower with the sun, I went back and I kind of expanded my knowledge a little bit, researched it a little more. It said they don't grow as well, 10% less. If they don't, you know, so they took the plants and they disrupted the cycle, 10% less growth. It's just like you and I. When we disrupt our walk with Christ, when we disrupt being with the Son of God and facing the light of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ, we grow less. 10% less for the sunflower. Then another really interesting thing that was in that video, did you note it? It said a mature sunflower plant remains always facing the sun. So it doesn't follow it. It sits in position, and as the sun comes by, it doesn't have to reset. It's set in relation to the sun. And that's like you and I. When we mature in our faith, when we mature in our walk in Christ, we are set towards the Son of God, aren't we? Towards the light of the world. And then the last thing it said, which I found really interesting, was that bees like warm flowers 5 times better than flowers that aren't facing the sun. And you know what, Christian? People would much rather be around a warm Christian than a cold, cantankerous one. Isn't it the truth? Go with me, if you would, to John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12, the verse that is on the back of your little card. But I'm going to read to you verses 12, 13, and 14, a little beyond what's on the back of your card there. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. So we find the Lord Jesus Christ here telling us in verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. He makes a statement and the Pharisees, they respond and they say, that is not true, because you bore record of yourself. And they go on in the next verses and they explain, you know, our law teaches you can't bear record of yourself. And Christ says, well, actually, your law says if there are two that bear record, it is true. And me and my Father, we bear record that I am the light of the world. So we find the Lord Jesus Christ making it clear he is the light of the world. Yes, there are people who reject that, deny that. They don't want to believe that. They push against that. But Jesus stands up tall and true and he says, no, it is true. I am the light of the world. And then he says to them, I came from above. You don't know where I came from. I came from above, and I shall go back there. And it's interesting how much of your New Testament reinforces that truth. John 3:31 says, He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. So when we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ being the light of the world, he confirms that by saying, hey, he's the one who has come from heaven. He has come from above, and he is above all. John 8:23 says, And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. When we start talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the one that we should all face and look to, He says, listen, you are of this world, but he is from above. We look to him as the Savior, the light of the world. In fact, he told them, he said, I also again will ascend above. So he came, lived upon the earth, died on the cross, buried in the tomb, resurrected, and ascended. Luke chapter 24, verse 50 and 51 says, and he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into the heavens. The book of Acts says the apostles were standing there talking with him. And it tells us that he rose up and went into the clouds. And there he ascended into that heavenly place. And there today he abides. So when we start talking about our Lord Jesus Christ as the light of the world, when we talk about you and I being like that sunflower who looks to the light, we look to that Son of God, the Lord Christ, who came from above and has now ascended up to be there forevermore. Matthew 26, verse 64 says, Jesus saith unto him, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is coming again. The scriptures teach us that there will come a time when the believers, the children of God, will be caught up to meet him in the sky, to be with him forevermore. But then there will be 7 years of tribulation, and Christ will come and establish his kingdom on earth. So we find these amazing teachings in the Bible, and Christ uses them to remind us that we should be looking to him. You and I, little sunflowers, looking to the light of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he really drove home that point that he is the light of the world, when he was talking to them that day. Even though the Pharisees didn't want to believe it, Christ confirmed it. It's an interesting thing what an impact Jesus Christ has had on the world. You, when you take out your cell phone, do you know that your cell phone testifies of Jesus all the time? I don't have one on me, but somebody here does, I'll bet. Kathy has one. You don't have to hand it to me. Hold it up really good and high. So when you pick that up and that screen comes on, does it give the date on there? It does. And does anybody know what year is today? A few of you know. The rest of us are still lost back in 2020, aren't we? It's 2021. 2021 years it's been since our Lord Jesus Christ walked upon the earth. So you might have people who say, well, what's Jesus Christ? What's he done? Listen, he changed the whole world. Every single time you look at a calendar, it points to Jesus Christ. Every time you pick up your cell phone, it points to Jesus Christ. Some of you have tablets and all kinds of devices. We won't do the whole list of them. But every one of them gives the date, doesn't it? And if it was wrong, if it came on and it said it was 1997, you'd say, what? It's not right. Now, old-time yard mechanics would hit it, but we don't do that anymore. But you would want to go ahead and get that right because it's not 1997. It hasn't been 1,997 years since Jesus walked the face of the earth. No, it's been 2021. I almost added another two in there. But you and I, you get the point. When we start talking about Jesus Christ, the light of the world, we understand he changed the world. And he wants to change you and my eternity through salvation. It's a unique description given to us in this verse. When it says that Jesus spake and said, I am the light of the world. It's unique. It's different, only applied to him. Now, he referenced his disciples as a light as well. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness," you and I as Christians, we used to live in darkness, we used to be darkness, but it says, "But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Now, he's talking about you and I as disciples. He's saying you and I are light of the Lord, and we should walk as children of the light, but he doesn't call us the light of the world. You see, we are not the master light. We're not the light that every single human being should turn and face, but he is. In fact, it's interesting, even when it came to John the Baptist, he tied him to being the light. He says in John 5:35, "He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." He was talking to those who had followed John the Baptist. He says, "He was a bright and shining light, and you were willing to follow that light, but he was not the light of the world." He pointed to that light. In fact, the scriptures tell us John was not that light, but he pointed to that light. To the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who is that light of the world. Isaiah 42:6 says, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles." This was a prophetic verse in the Old Testament, talking about the coming Messiah. And in this text, it said Jesus Christ would come as the Savior of mankind. He would come as the light of the world, as a light unto the Gentiles. Now, maybe there could be a few folks here who have Jewish descent. They came from the Jewish people. But the vast majority of the people in this room, you and I are those Gentiles. And Jesus Christ in that text was prophesied to bring the light of the gospel, the light of eternal life to us. So for me as a 16-year-old boy on a construction job during the summer, a guy started sharing his faith. He started pointing me towards the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And through the whole summer, talking to me about how I was a sinner in need of salvation. And I had to come to that place to understand, yeah, absolutely, I knew I was a sinner. I just didn't understand Jesus was the solution, the Savior. And finally, by the end of that summer, he convinced me to come to church. Took him a summer. I finally came, and I listened to the preaching and teaching of the gospel. And I responded to an invitation and knelt down at the front at an old metal folding chair in the front of an elementary school gymnasium that was being rented by a church, and there I received Christ as my Savior as a 16-year-old kid. But I had to be pointed to that light. I was that Gentile kid. Jesus was the light to shine the way of salvation for me. He is the true light. In fact, turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John chapter 1. This is a really familiar text about Christ being that true light, the light of the world that every one of us should look to for our eternal life. Listen to what it says in the Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 7 down through 9. "The same came for a witness," talking about John the Baptist, "For the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So when we look at this text, the Gospel of John tells us that John the Baptist came to bear witness of the light, but it's Jesus who is the light that you and I might turn to, that you and I might receive, that you and I might accept, that we might have eternal life. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healings in his wings." Talking about Jesus Christ being the light of the world, the Messiah, the coming Savior. He says he will come with righteousness and healing in his wings. It's interesting when you come to the book of Revelation, last book in your Bible. If you'll turn with me, I want you to look at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, look at verse 23 and 24 with me. And the city, he's talking about the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. He says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did light it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Who's the Lamb? The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light. You and I, we look to our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, like those little sunflower plants, we track our Lord. Every day we ask him, Lord, walk with me, show me, guide me, help me in my life. You and I, we grow and mature until spiritually we come to a place where we are embraced by his presence. We don't turn away. We're there. We're in tune with him. Hopefully, by the grace of God, he has warmed your heart and your personality to where others can get near you and not be afraid of you. You know, sometimes Christians, if you're not careful, we can be like that guy who just constantly eats really, really strong pickles and he puckers and he's a little grouchy. Have you ever seen that? Who was it that used to have a puppet? There was a puppet that was all the scrunchy old man puppet. Maybe Oscar the Grouch. I'm not sure. But you know what? Sometimes we as Christians, that's what we're like. Whether it be Oscar the Grouch or whoever it is, we don't let Christ change us. Your little card, if you hold it up and you look at that, you see that sunflower close up? See, we're not supposed to be closed up. Our purpose is to open up. I walked my house this morning. I went to turn my water on to fill my cattle tank for my cows out back. And Sandra Jo has some sunflower seeds planted along a stone. It's like a retaining wall. And I was, sure enough, those things are, they're mature now. We're going into fall. And they are facing that sun that's coming up. And I was walking by and I was thinking to myself, you know what? That's what I need to be. I need to be that mature Christian facing the Son of God, the light of the world, and letting him bring me to the place of maturity, to where I see the gospel for the rest of the world. Because see, that's the purpose of a sunflower. I know we think it's just to be beautiful, but it's really not its purpose. Its purpose is to grow and to mature and to multiply. And you and I this morning, if you've received Jesus Christ into your heart and into your soul, if you are looking to the light and growing in your faith, if you yourself have come to that place where the Spirit of God has warmed your heart and soul and you are actually inviting to others, you should be multiplying, sharing your faith with others, spreading the word, getting the seed out there that others might know that Christ is the light unto the Gentiles. He is the light unto the world. He is the very light of heaven itself. We've got to remember to look to him. It's interesting when you look at our text, the last thing I want you to see when you come down and John chapter 8, verse 12. Listen to the verse again. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He's offering to you and I. He's wanting to touch and change our lives. He says he is the light of the world. Why? Because he wants you and I to follow him that we might not walk in darkness. We live in a dark time, don't we? There's so many things that people are afraid of. So many things people are concerned about. Christ says, I want to give you the light. I want you to not have to be afraid. I don't want you to have to be in the darkness. I want you to be able to come to a place where you can walk away from the dark and come into the light and enjoy the creation and the life that I have offered unto you. We've got to be careful as Christians. Sometimes we become so influenced by the world around us that darkness settles on us, when actually light is supposed to drive away darkness. So he tells us, he says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now here he's not really talking about just the life here, although Christ offers to us life and a more abundant life. But he's talking about not only life here, but life eternally. That's why in John 14, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. We can never forget that what Christ offers to us is eternal life. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior. You're like I was when I was 16 years old. You're having a hard time grasping the idea that Jesus Christ is the light of the world and that he came to die for your sins. He did. He wants to give you newness of life, eternal life. But you've got to turn from your sin. You've got to turn to the Savior. You've got to turn to the light. You've got to say, Lord, I am a sinner. And I ask that you forgive me. Come into my heart, come into my life, save my soul. And if you're here this morning, in just a minute, I'm going to have an invitation time, and I invite you to come. Let me have somebody open the Bible. Let me have them answer your questions and pray with you this morning that today you can receive the light of the world into your heart and into your soul. He says he wants to remove the darkness, the sin from your life. He wants to give you the light of life, eternal life. The sunflower is beautiful. The French word, tournesol, turn towards the sun. That's what a sunflower is called. You and I, we're a unique creation. Human beings created in the image of God. But yet God, like the sunflower, calls us to turn to the sun. Not that blazing ball in the sky, but that Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Turn to the sun that you yourself might embrace the light of the world. Let's bow our heads as we come to the end of our service. And I ask you, I invite you, to take just a moment and look into your heart and into your soul. Have you yet turned from your sin and turned to Christ? Have you called upon him to save your soul and to come into your heart and into your life? If you haven't, then in just a moment, I invite you to come to this altar. Let us minister to you today the gospel that you might receive Christ. Christian, are you turned towards the Son of God? Are you letting him help you grow and mature? Are you allowing him to bring you to that place of beauty, to where you yourself are warm and replicating, spreading the gospel? Father in heaven, as we come to the end of this message, as we come to this invitation time, I pray for your Holy Spirit to woo us and beckon us near to you. Help us to turn to the light. And if there be one person in this room that's not yet received you as their Savior, I pray that today would be the day. Help us as Christians to commit ourselves daily to turn towards you, that you might help us grow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. And Brother John is going to sing our song of invitation this morning. We're not going to sing. But as we stand, if the Spirit of God has spoken to you about making a change, receiving Him as your Savior, or turning to Him daily and growing in your faith, then respond to Him as Brother John sings to us. Song. Please stay for lunch. Somebody's supposed to bring me a basket with some names, and I'm going to pull the name for the little Vermont, New York basket that we have. Man, it takes two to carry it. So, man, somebody's going to have to share, I think. Okay, let's go ahead and have this young lady right here draw the name. We have Jane Stowe, Hinesburg, Vermont. Where's Jane Stowe? Jane, I'm going to, should I hand this to you?
Put it right there, inside it, or basket, fast, she can put it in and carefully carry it.
Okay.
So she doesn't do that like you're doing.
Okay. There you go. Congratulations. Absolutely. I'm going to lead us in a dismissal prayer, and then John's going to lead us in a song. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the way you have blessed us. We thank you for the light of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'd bless the food to our bodies that we're about to partake of. And Lord, we thank you for each person that worked so hard to prepare the meal we're going to participate in. We thank you for those who came and set up yesterday and last night and this morning. All the working hands that came to minister for you to us. We thank you, Lord. And I ask that you'd be with us as we depart. Watch over us. Help us to be a witness for you. And help us, Lord, to shine bright and multiply, sharing our faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. With him too.